Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we are here in your presence, knowing that you are with us, always will be with us, and inviting us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so, Lord, lead us in this time of prayer this morning, and as we look at a psalm, just to praise you and honor you, give us insight, a very familiar psalm. Help us to glean whatever you would have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at Psalm 19 today, and as you know, it begins with, "The heavens declare the glory of God." So I just thought we would sing, "To God be the glory." So to God be the glory, the words are on the top of page 1. Let's sing along or listen however you prefer. Well, in Psalm 19, I want to just look at it in with respect to three great questions, I think, that the psalmist answers here for us. In verses 1 through 6, I think the question being answered, is there a God? Is there a God? In verses 7 through 11, we know that the first question, the answer was yes, and we look at that through creation and through the Creator and through His design. Then the second question, if there is a God, what is He like? And if we want to see what God is like, we look to the Word of God. And there's one of the most beautiful, as you know, summaries of the blessedness and the perfection of the Word of God in verses 7 to 11. And then I think of the last four verses, knowing those things, then we can ask the question, is God interested in me? Is God interested in me? And we will see the answer to that is yes, He's the Savior of sinners. And we'll point out that we are sinners, and but He is a Savior of them. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful psalm, and one they're quite familiar with. So he begins with stating to the question of, is there a God? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. So he is saying, look at creation. Look at creation. Paul said much the same thing in Romans 1:20. He says that everyone is without excuse because his attributes are clearly seen in creation for every living human being there is, no matter where he's born, because this message goes out, as we will see, to every tribe, tongue, and people, every continent, creation. This morning in California, we don't see much of the sunrise because of the cloudiness. Today is one of the earliest sunrises we'll have all year. And we'll look just a minute at that as an example. But the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So if there is a creation which is declaring this to us, there must be then a creator. And that's the stumbling block of much of the world today. They do not want to admit that there is a creator. And I really believe that all the scientists who've really looked into life at all know that that's true. But they don't want to admit that there's a creator, then they would have to be accountable to that creator. So they will promote any kind of a lie to keep from that, and they don't have any lies anymore. The DNA just rules out. I mean, there's no way that evolution could ever happen. Could ever happen. Just totally impossible because of the difficulty in putting a cell together. You know, Darwin, and he just saw some bird beaks and went off on that. But he, when he got to the simple cell, and I was taught in school, the simple cell is so simple we don't even need to describe it. Well, those of you who are in the Job study know that the simple cell is the most complex thing in the universe. And you got 100 trillion of them in your body. 100 trillion. So try to count them. And, you know, if you live really long, you might get up to a few 100 million. But at any rate, so we see then there's a creator. And then he comes on to say that day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So every day, everything we see around us in creation cries out, there is a God, there is a God, there is a God. He says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So that means there's no place on this planet where the testimony is weak. You know, if you're in the radio transmission business, you always have weak spots, you know, and you get too far away from the transmitter, you can't hear it at all. That isn't the case with the knowledge of creation. It's speaking, as he says here, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. So in his creation now, he just uses one example here, the sun. The sunrise. So unbelievably magnificent. But since it happens every 24 hours, we get accustomed to it, and it takes away all the wonder of it and all. But he describes it here, and you can visualize this. And again, as I said, not with a doom gloom. You can't even see the sun rising, but it rose. It's light, isn't it? But he likens it to a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. You know, the sun comes up with a beaming brightness every morning, and just like, it's ready, whether we are or not. Oh, I want to sleep in. I get up, you know. Why does the sun get up so early? But it's a magnificent. Just think if the sun would only rise maybe once every year or once every 5 years or every 10 years, everyone in the world would get up and look at that, wouldn't they? It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we know exactly, since he is so accurate in his design, when the sun's going to come up. You look on your cell phone, you can get the tables of the rising time of the sun for I don't know how many years out front, but we know exactly when it's going to rise. And every day it comes up slightly different geographic on the horizon. And so as Job would say, you know, I know a lot of things. God said, were you there when they laid this all out? Were you there and you figured out where the sun would come up and when it would come up every day? And of course we know that all speaks of the creator, and if there's a creator, then he goes into the design of these things, and then we are testing, he's testifying of his presence through his design as well. And look at the accuracy of this, 1,000 years before Christ, David would write, in rising from one end of heaven to another and its circuit to the other end. They were so convinced that the world was flat. Isn't that amazing? It's all flat. But no, God's already telling them it's a circuit, right? Sun goes up in a circular route here and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. There's no way that on earth you escape the impact of the sun to some degree. So he uses that one aspect of creation to further illuminate that there is a God. So then, assuming now that you have seen God through creation, how do you know God? How do you know God? Well, the best way is to look at his word. So in verses 7 through 11, we are given a summary of the word, and just notice, I know you know this, but just so glorious to the way it's given to us here. The law of the Lord is pretty much right. Is that what it says? It's perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. What? Converting the soul. How do you get saved? You need to know God. How do you know God? By reading his word. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, not mostly sure, all sure, making wise the simple. Can you believe some people, and some are big-name pastors, have done this in the past? They have said, well, I really have studied the scriptures, and this one section or this one verse is really not correct. It should say this. When you see that, run for a bunker before the lightning falls, right? Is man smarter than God? Well, I've been to school, and I've got the degrees to show it. And the further you get out on that limb, the further you are, you're just a total idiot, right? But we see that the testimony is sure, making wise the simple. So the wise people in the world, it makes them simple. Simple people of the world, it makes wise. You can understand as much of this Bible with no education as you can with 15 PhDs. You don't have to have education to understand the Bible. You just have to open your heart to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit to receive it, right? And you have the same benefits of the glorious life that we're taught here in the Bible, whether you have any education or not. I'm not against education, don't get me wrong. But if we rely on that, I got to know the Hebrew, I got to know the Greek, I got to know all this stuff to hear from God. No, you don't. I would much rather sit with a person or under a person who has the Holy Spirit than a person with 15 language degrees that doesn't have the Spirit, because they aren't going to get anything out of this, right? They can tell you what the words mean. It doesn't mean anything, right? Without the Spirit revealing the truth. So we have then the testimony of the Lord is sure, and then we have the statutes of the Lord are right. What? Rejoicing the heart. Why do you think you get build up when you read the word of God? The statutes are rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. How many things do you know in the world that are undefiled? I say this is the only writing that's pure. You show me the best book ever written by man, and it's still not 100% pure, because man is not pure, God is. And it enlightens the eyes. Isn't that great? When you're in this word, it enlightens your eyes. Speaks what's right in life. Then the fear of the Lord is clean. Clean. You know, don't you just feel like when you, anywhere you look in the world, it's just yuck, right? How can I get yuck? Well, it's the Lord. We fear him, and it is clean, and it endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Always right, completely fair. And then verse 10 tells us they're more desired than gold, yea, much fine gold. I have a question. If somebody came up to you today and said, I'll give you all the gold in the world, the only thing that you're required is never to look at this Bible again for the rest of your life, would you take them up on that? I certainly wouldn't. I don't think I could get through 48 hours without having some impact from the Word of God. And without that, you just perish, right? Really? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Valuable and it's sweet. It's valuable and sweet. And then finally in this section, moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. How many people do you know today that like warning? Nobody wants to be warned. Don't lay that trip on me. But how many of you raise kids without warning them not to go out in the street, without warning them of all the dangers that are there? And all we are kids, right? We need a warning. And the Word of God gives us the warning we need for our good, not because He's trying to make our life tough. He's trying to make our life better. And then in keeping them, there is what? Great reward. Great reward. All through the Bible. If you obey this, God will bless, prosper, curse your enemies. If you disobey this, God will bless your enemies and curse you. So as Moses would say, which do you want? Do you want life or do you want death? Keeping them, there's great reward. So then we go on to the last verses here and we read, so if there is a God, and we know there is as we study His Word, then is He interested in having a relationship with us? Well, we know the answer to that. But He says here, who can understand His errors? So, you mean I'm not perfect? You mean I'm a sinner? Yes, that's what the Bible tells me. Who can understand His errors? And then what? Cleanse me from secret faults. So you're aware of everything you're doing wrong, in a sense? Not until you read the Word, right? Cleanse me from secret faults. And then keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. So the Word of God will keep you out of sin, right? Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. The law of the Lord will protect our hearts and minds, doesn't it? Now, still our minds, we're free 24 hours a day to think whatever we want to think. And we're to what? Think on good things, not on all the evil stuff that's around. And so then, in that, as he seeks God and as he approaches God through creation, revealed in the Word of God, and as a sinner, he approaches God and what? Following the Word, salvation occurs as you surrender and give your life to the Lord, right? So now as you move from 13 to 14, 14 now you're in speaking as a saved person, I believe. And you then cry out, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now, until then, you don't really care whether the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart is acceptable to God or not, do you? Listen to what the people are saying that don't know the Lord. And their words are terrible, right? Not acceptable at all, particularly those that are blaspheming the Lord. He addresses God as what? My strength and my Redeemer. That can only be a believer speaking there. So we then see in this little psalm, which we're so familiar with, all three of these questions really answered by the psalm, I think. Is there a God? And if so, how can I know Him? And is He interested in having a relationship with me? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the preciousness of it, Lord. And we only know a little of the surface of it, and yet, Lord, You reveal what we need to know. Father, help us this morning as we pray for the church, as we pray for the conference coming up here, just at this church, but for the church around the world, for the believers around the world who are crying out to You, You are my strength, You are my Redeemer. And we pray for those who have not yet got to that point yet. They're still asking, is there a God? Or they're still asking, how do I know God? Or they're still asking, is God interested in me? I am such a mess. I'm such a sinner. And that is the cry of every one of us, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Lead us now in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name.
Consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
This is my soul.
Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, and Lord, may we tell others today how great you are. May we have that testimony by our lives of showing your love, that you are real, and that you talk to us, you tell us who you are through your word, and Lord, that through that word we see our sin and we see the need for a Savior, and you save, save, save. You've saved hundreds of millions in that being born again, supernatural. We're so thankful. And help us to pass that on today to one, more, two, ten, those who don't know you yet, Lord. You died for every one of them too, Lord. We thank you for meeting us in Jesus' name. Amen.